To answer is human. To question is divine. Welcome to the world of the Hidden Gateway, an exhilarating podcast exploring the concepts humans have been struggling with since the dawn of existence, such as, who are we? Is there such a thing as good and evil, or are they arbitrary constructs? Does the paranormal exist? How can we evolve to a higher state? Can our mind influence what we term as reality? Providing a transcendental approach combined with hard-nosed humanistic analysis, we invite you on a journey to question your worldview in this theater of life. Join our host, Justin Williams, as he explores the outer realms of faith, the supernatural, human potential, and even our concepts of the universal creator with a fascinating array of guests. This is the unseen world, magical, mysterious, and mystical, where your only limitation is your imagination. This is the Hidden Gateway.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Hidden Gateway podcast. I am your host, Justin Williams. Today, we have a very special guest with us. Her name is Becca Dickens. Now, Becca is a regenerative farmer and energy healer. She is also co-owner of Regenerative Life Farm in rural central Illinois. Regenerative Life Farm is home to a chemical-free, no-till, deep compost market garden with magical soil, 200 pasteurized chickens and cattle. They sell eggs and vegetables to their community and provide education on food as medicine. As an energy worker, Becca offers online sessions using intuition and divine guidance to help people shift energy, heal emotionally and physically, and remember who they are. Becca, so happy to have you here on the Hidden Gateway podcast. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, hey, it's great to have you on the show today. You know, you were actually referred to me by one of my faithful listeners, a guy named Kevin. So shout out to Kevin. I think Kevin heard you on a podcast recently. He sent me an email. He said, hey, Justin, you have to have Becca Dickens on your show. She definitely aligns with what you and the Hidden Gateway are all about. So I'm so grateful to have you here today. And I know we're going to have some pretty, pretty interesting conversations. You have quite the story and the things you do in regards to, you know, your healing work and teaching people how to use food as medicine. And that really resonates with me because over the last 3 years or so, I've been somewhat doing that. I've incorporated fasting into my life, and it has changed my life phenomenally. First, I went from, cutting meat completely out of my diet, and I saw a change there. I began eating meat again about a year and a half ago, but my family, we definitely feel that eating healthy is a benefit, and it's shown over the last few years here. But anyway, give me a little background about, you know, what you do, or most importantly right now, how did you come? Tell me about that path of how you wound up where you are today.
My whole life, I don't feel like, I would like to say that there was a master plan and I plotted it all out and I wanted to end up here. It wasn't like that at all. I've always just been going with the flow and kind of taking what comes. I grew up in a really small town in Illinois. I was in a pretty, almost like a religious cult, pretty fundamentalist Christian kind of upbringing. I escaped from the small town, went out into the world. I lived for a lot of my life in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I became an IT project manager. I had a big corporate job, pretty fancy. I did a lot of international travel. I worked for software companies that were international companies, got to travel around and jet set life. I made a lot of money, was real into that corporate life. I never had children. I had relationships and got married a couple of times, but the main part of my life was work, and I was an alcoholic. And was able to keep it together enough to hold down a job and have a good career, but my life was working and alcohol. And I always felt like as a kid, I had some spiritual gifts, and alcohol definitely tamped that down. And I think I got attracted to alcohol at a young age because I couldn't handle the spiritual gifts that I have. And it was easier to block them out. And I just fell into that lifestyle. I don't understand why it happened that I needed to punish and torture myself that way. But I caused all of my own pain for like 25 years. 2013, by miracles, I don't know how, I woke up, I stopped drinking, and I got on a spiritual path. I really resonated with what you said about your, you changed how you ate and you noticed the changes. When I gave up alcohol, what I noticed, first of all, is that I got smarter. My brain just worked better. I was working on Excel spreadsheets at my job a lot, and I just got, I could quantify it because I could just do the calculations much easier using Excel when the alcohol got out of my brain. And I thought, well, that's pretty interesting. I noticed that I was still getting a lot. I was eating a ton of sugar. So I thought, I'm going to cut sugar out and see what happens. I gave up sugar. Wow, I got way smarter. And wow, my emotions leveled out. And it was so much easier to deal with life and the little stresses and the ups and downs. And so I was living in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which is a very woo-woo place. And so it was a good place to meet all kinds. I met people who said they were from Pleiades. I met people who talked to animal psychics and aliens and just the whole gamut. I ran around to all kinds of groups and just really got into all kinds of woo-woo stuff. And I just awakening. It was a wonderful time of my life. But at the same time, I couldn't do my corporate job anymore. It really started to feel like I would be sitting in a conference room and I would look at all the people sitting around the table, and they all looked like we were little kids who had said, let's get dressed up and go play office. Let's all go play office today. Everybody was just playing, had a mask, and we were just, nobody knew what they were doing. And we were all just pretending, and the corporations are evil, and we weren't doing good in the world. And it was so much office politics and backstabbing. And as you start to awaken, you can't be in some environments. Anyway, I can't. I just felt myself getting pushed out of that world. And same time, my marriage fell apart. Nothing terrible. It's just the same kind of thing. Just, whoa, I can't do this anymore. This is over. My dad got diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and he's still okay. This was 10 years ago, and I can still relate to him. I decided I'd move back to Illinois. Nothing for me in Albuquerque. So I was around 50. I moved back to a tiny, small town. Had no job, sold my house, didn't have a marriage, living with my parents again, total loser, just ground zero. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. I thought I was really into food, though. I had learned a lot about nutrition, just giving up sugar, and then I just kept taking it farther and farther. I decided to go to nutritional therapy school. So there's a nutritional therapy practitioner school. And I was going to become that. And it's just people who use food as medicine, help people get off pharmaceuticals and treat themselves with food. So I started studying to do that. I thought, I'm in a small town, I'll just set up a little practice and teach people how to heal themselves with food. And had no intention to ever have any kind of romance again. Or I just thought I'd live with my parents until my parents passed away, and then see what happened next. And I met a gardener named Jared. The first time we talked, a friend introduced us, drove me up to his garden. He was working in his garden, and I looked at him and I said, "There he is."
Wow.
And we had a two-hour conversation that first day. We talked about conspiracy theories. We talked about food as medicine. We talked about the power of soil and the magic of life and the miracle of plants. And we started selling vegetables that summer. That was in 2018. Every year since then, we have grown. We sell at markets. We sell eggs from our 200 chickens. I do classes and teach people how to make sourdough bread and teach people about local food and how to heal themselves with food. Sometime in that process, I also started doing energy healing sessions. I just got more and more in touch with my gifts. And it's basically just, I talk to people on the phone or over Zoom from all over the country and help them remove blocks and get in touch with their true selves and help them talk to their spirit guides. And to me, it's all connected, farming and energy healing. It feels like I'm really doing the same thing. It's all about healing people and mainly helping people heal themselves. But I'm here to tell you, anybody can change your life in their 40s, in their 50s, in their 60s. It's not too late. We get this one life. You can do whatever you want to do. And it's worth it. There, I've been talking a lot.
Oh, it is. Oh, no, it's wonderful. I mean, wow, you know, hearing your story literally gave me the chills. I mean, it's so much divine energy coming from you. I just feel it. And you are definitely a vessel. You're being used by the universe, by the source, by the Father, God, whatever we want to call it. And, you know, it really speaks to someone who makes the decision to deal with life challenges, right? When you make the decision saying, hey, I'm going to change, I'm going to do different, I'm going to face these fears, and it's always something special on the other side of that. But I think a lot of the time people don't do it because of that fear. They don't know what that new me looks like. They don't know how they're going to be able to handle that. But you face those fears. You dealt with, you know, alcoholism and having the courage to break away from that Christianity background that you were raised in. So, you know, as you know, the universe recognizes all that. And so you took 2, 3, 4 steps, and then the universe pulled you 10, and everything just worked out perfectly for you, you know, with you meeting a wonderful man and you starting your business. And, you know, you've just been taken care of by the angels, you know. So that's beautiful, Becca. Thank you so much for sharing that. That is, I love it. Absolutely love it. And I can relate a lot to it as well, because I have my own story of overcoming trauma and abuse that has brought me to where I am today. So my heart goes out to you. I feel you. I feel you. I really do. You know, I want to ask you about food and animals. And I know you talk about, you know, food carries energy and freedom starts with food and, you know, how to eat to the highest vibration possible so you can change your life. You know, you know, when we talk about, you know, different types of foods, when we talk about, say, processed foods, when we talk about foods that are sold in, you know, McDonald's type restaurants and all these other restaurants, tell me, how are these foods affecting people on an energy or even a spiritual level?
Yeah, at a real basic level, I've realized that food carries energy, and processed food that has traveled around the world has picked up a lot of energy. I'll just give you a basic example. If you think about your mother or somebody who loves you, and let's say that she makes you mac and cheese from the box, Kraft macaroni and cheese, and you know, you just add water or whatever and follow the recipe. And another person who doesn't know you gets the same box and makes the same mac and cheese. It doesn't taste as good as the mac and cheese made by the person who loves you. It's because that food and that person preparing the food puts intention and the love into that food. And it just tastes better. It nourishes you better than food that doesn't. So, and then another thing is just think about an apple that is picked in, I don't know, I live in Illinois. Let's say an apple is picked in California. Maybe it's picked by people who don't get paid enough money to take care of their kids. And they're trying to pick more apples to get enough money to get dinner for their kids. And they're in pain. Maybe the plants are stressed out and there's wildfires near them, and they're afraid the trees, they've been pruned and covered with chemicals to keep them alive. Their soil is depleted. They're starving and being forced to overproduce fruit. Those apples then get picked by a person who's suffering, touches it and puts her energy into it. The apples get loaded onto a truck. They're driven down the interstate with all of that smog, smoke, exhaust, all of the stress of the people driving 70 miles an hour and the honking and the fear and the driving through cities and driving through countrysides. And then it goes to the, if you're lucky, it goes to the, ends up in the produce department and you can buy an apple. But what happens maybe is it goes to a factory and gets pulverized and turned into a Pop-Tart or something, filled with other chemicals, abused, torn apart. Processing food removes the nutrients, you could look at it like removing the soul of the food. When you break apart a piece of grain, that grain is alive and it has a soul. You smash it. The nutrients, your body doesn't know what to do with the individual pieces mixed with a bunch of chemicals. So anyway, that apple, eventually it gets back to your supermarket and you buy it from a cashier. You know, when you go to the grocery store now, they say, put your card in the little thing. And then she says, oh, I have to push these buttons over here. It doesn't really work. You don't even make eye contact with each other. You're both looking at a machine and putting buttons. You put the apple into plastic and then you take it home and eat it. Just think of the difference of buying an apple from my farm or from your local farm. You come, you can see if I'm happy or not. You can see the mood that I'm in. You can judge probably how I treat the tree. You could look at the tree and see if that tree looks happy or not. Trees will tell you their names. I know the names of two trees around me. Just ask anything. It'll tell you its name. Everything has a soul.
Wow.
So look at the look at the tree, look at the farmer, pay me with cash. When you buy the apple from that farmer, look in my eyes, let's make a connection. And just, you can just tell that that apple is going to nourish you differently. And not everybody can buy apples from a farmer, but you can get as close as you can to that food. And there are simple things that you can do to increase the vibration of your food. And I'll just give you four quick ones. You can grow something, even if it's just an herb, a little bit of basil or oregano that you grow on your windowsill, and grow that, water it every day, thank it, love it, and then use it to season your food and it will nourish you better. Or grow something like tomatoes in a pot. Learn how to cook something from scratch, scratch cooking or home cooking. It just means not processed food. Here's an easy way to tell a processed food from a whole food. A processed food, if it has a list of ingredients, an apple doesn't have a list of ingredients. It's just an apple. But if there is a list of ingredients, there should be just about 5 ingredients or fewer if it's a whole food. And you should know what all of those words are. So if you look at a list of ingredients and most of the words is something you'd have to look up on your computer to even figure out what it is, I'm sorry, but that's not food. I don't know what it is, but that's right. Not a food. And it doesn't have a soul and it's not nourishing you. Your body doesn't really know what to do with it. So if you make a meal, learn how to cook one thing where you know what all the ingredients are. And you know how to cook that from scratch. So maybe you get some olive oil that you use in your recipe, but olive oil, if you look at the list of ingredients, it just says olive oil. So eat foods like that. A third thing that you can do is to eat with other people. I think you can increase the vibration of your food just by eating with other people and making mealtime sacred again. I'm sure you know it with your family that those times when everything gels and you guys can sit down together and talk.
It's the best.
It's the best.
Yes, the
and
best.
It's almost impossible to be an enemy with someone that you've broken bread with. If there's someone that you want to have a better relationship with and you don't have a great relationship with, have a meal with them, even if it's just in a restaurant, but even better if you can cook for them. I have cooked for some people that I don't get along with very well. Mostly family members. When I'm cooking for them, I'm thinking, I wonder if she would like the sweet potatoes if I made French fries out of them, made sweet potato fries. I'm going to delight her with this meal and then sit down and share it. It's just impossible to stay enemies. So eat with other people whenever you get the chance and make that be a sacred part of your day. And then try to make friends with a farmer. Even if you live in a big city, there are farmers like me doing farmers markets somewhere in your city, and find somebody that you can buy food with, that you can look the farmer in the eye and you can know how they treat their animals. If you buy meat from them or eggs, you know how they treat their plants. You can ask them what chemicals they put on their plants. And mostly you can see if they're putting love into their work or not. Make a real human connection.
Right.
And I don't know what's going to happen in the next 10 years in this world, but I think it might be bad with food. And it would be good if you were a customer of a farmer today, because she will remember you. If the food trucks stop coming, she's not going to be able to sell to everybody in the city. She's probably going to sell to the people that were good customers during this time. So go make friends and get good relationships with people who know how to grow food today. It'll make your life better today, and it might save your life.
That is so good, because, you know, you see all this online and you hear these different people talking about what's being done to the food and what these globalists, these elites of the world have planned for humanity by affecting the food. I've even been reading about they're putting vaccines in a lot of the food now, vegetables and such. And of course, we know the livestock, the animals, they've been injected with these chemicals and these hormones and these vaccines for years now. So I love that you brought that up. And you know what else I like is when you mention, you know, break bread with people, it brings you closer to people. It can bring you peace. It can bring peace between two people. And you gave the example of maybe a family member who, you know, you don't care for as much, but as you were preparing that meal, those fries, those sweet potato fries, you said, well, I wonder if this person will like it like that. So that tells me you're putting intention, you're putting love into that. And that's an energy, right? And so as you both sit down and that person consumes that food, you know, that love is the most powerful energy in the universe. They can't help but to kind of, you know, feel a certain way about you in that moment. And then you two vibrate at this great level. That's excellent. That is really, really cool. Now, you know, I want to talk a little woo when it comes to the food. You know, just as you said, these, you know, the energies, right? Now, what about like demonic possessions, right? Can foods be possessed by these low vibrating demonic energies or entities? Do you believe that's possible?
Yeah, I think it's possible. Yes, I think it must be. With my experience with alcohol, which is kind of a food and kind of not a food, I definitely believe that alcohol, for me, it was a way that I opened a door and let something in. And I think of it as a literal demon, but you don't even have to. It's just like the way that they are trying to control the food, the fact that the food that we feed to public school children, we were looking for some food scraps to put on the garden to make compost that we could use in the garden. So we just wanted to get some wood chips and you mix them with food scraps. And we were talking about getting food scraps from our local school because they throw away a lot of food. And I actually said, I don't want that food. I don't want those food scraps because I don't want to put all those chemicals on my garden. So the food trash that's coming from the local school where I live is not even fit for me to turn into compost because it's full of poison. And look at children. Their brains don't work right because of the poisons that they eat. People are angry, and I don't know if it's not a demon. I don't know what it is. And the fact that we would feed that food to our children, that we would treat animals the way that they're treated when they live in a cage their entire lives and never see the sun. If that's not a demon, I don't know what a demon is. And yeah, if the food carries that energy, and just like alcohol, I got something from it. I guess. It numbed me out to the world that was too painful for me to face. And in exchange, it got to come inside of me and ride my body around like a, So I do think that just when I think of a process, a place where food is processed, or like a place where fast food is made, these factories, I just see darkness around those factories where the food is produced. And the people who work there are not evil. A lot of them, it's the job that they need. It's the best job in town.
Right.
But their pain, I see their pain and the fluorescent lights and the dehumanizing, they're exploited people who don't make enough money, who are afraid about feeding their kids all day long and working and to make food that is going to poison their same kids. I don't know. Yeah. It's demons.
It's definitely demons. It's definitely demonic in nature. You know, it's, you know, it's like almost as if it's an attempt to kill the soul, take the soul, if you will. I remember years ago, this doctor told me that, and it blew my mind at the time because I was on a different path in life. And he told me that these big corporations, such as a lot of the fast food chains, Wendy's, McDonald's, Applebee's, Chili's, these guys, they literally have scientists that work for them, and they configure these different chemicals to put in the food to that messes with your brain and releases certain chemicals in your brain to make you want it more and make you come back to their establishment to spend more money. And I said, wow. You know, and this is a guy that had did deep research on this and even knew people within those industries. And it was at the time, it was mind blowing to me. This is probably almost 10 years ago. And then tell me about how the animals are affected as well. Right. Oh, go ahead. Were you going to say something about that?
Yeah, just that another thing about processed food, especially fast food. If you ever notice, you get like a supersize everything, eat a big meal of fast food, and maybe 2 or 3 hours later, you're hungry again. And you say, how is this possible? Right. I just stuffed myself. I was so full and now I'm hungry again. I can't possibly be hungry. You even feel shame. Like I have felt shame if I've done that in the past. Like, why am I such a glutton that I want more food? It's because your body is hungry. You've eaten a bunch of bulk that your body had to process. There were no nutrients in there. Your poor little cells are saying, yeah, we're hungry because we're signaling you that we need food. We need real food. People are malnourished. I think a big reason people can be overweight and malnourished at the same time. They are starving in the midst of plenty. And so, besides, like you said, they put things in it that make them addictive, that make you want to keep eating it. And they're not providing any actual food in there. They take less and less food and more chemicals. And it's killing people. I think it's making people sick. It's ruining their brains. Their brains don't work right. It's making them mean and small-minded. And enslaving them. Then you're enslaved. And about the animals, yes, I can't hardly. I start crying if I even think about animals living in a warehouse where they have never seen the sun. They're born into a concentration camp and live there their entire lives. It's a level of suffering I couldn't imagine. I can't hardly imagine even the people who have to work there. Because it would be hell. It would be like being in hell to me if I think about walking into one of those places. The smell and the feeling, the energy, if you have any kind of empathy, the fear and just the constant suffering. There's something, I'm part of the society, so, and I have eaten plenty of meat before I woke up. Today I only eat meat that is local and only eat meat if I know who killed it. And so mostly venison, chicken, or some local, a bit of local beef. But this is not a luxury that everybody has. And again, you have to do the best that you can. But yeah, there's something wrong with all of us that we allow this to happen. I know there's a lot of human suffering in the world and a lot of animal suffering in the world. And
yes. Something has to change. Something has to be different. I always heard stories about slaughterhouses when animals are lined up to be killed for food that, you know, they experience this fear, and then they're killed with this fear, and then that energy that they have is essentially passed along to us, you know, when we consume them after it's cooked and they're at our dinner table, you know. And that can't be good, obviously not good for them, but certainly can't be good for us and our health and our spiritual well-being either. Yeah, that's unfortunate. Now, let's talk about, you know, healing. You know, you shared your phenomenal story of some of the experiences you had earlier in life and how you went through this healing process. And I know I heard you say that healing the world starts with healing yourself. You know, you talk about self-hatred as a source of all evil. And tell me about how important it is, Becca, to live a life of authenticity.
Yes, I do. Just what we were saying about people who work with in doing one of these jobs that is torturing animals. I think you would have to hate yourself to do that job. But me, when I used to be making a lot of money and working for some corporations that weren't great, that were doing some evil in the world that I became aware of, there was a hatred of myself that allowed me to participate in that. And there was a hatred of myself that is the source of my alcoholism. I drank because I hated myself and I couldn't stand to be with myself. And I was trying to run away from who I was. And the only way to heal was to start to love myself. And it's still the most important healing work that I do for myself. And that when I'm doing energy healing sessions with people, it's all about telling them to love themselves first and more. And it gets easier to love yourself when you can be yourself and when you don't have to wear a mask and pretend all day.
Wow.
Because when you are
so true.
Wearing a mask and pretending to be something that you're not, it's because you are ashamed of who you are. And that's hatred. Oof. That shame is hatred.
Oof.
It hurts me. It's painful. And it's painful to see people doing it. You can see it so clearly when you see someone trying so hard to present a face that they think will be acceptable to the world, because
yes,
they don't think their real face is going to be accepted.
Mm-hmm. Do you think a lot of that, when people, the reason people are like that is because of maybe based in trauma?
Yeah, I think it is trauma. They have gotten a message somewhere that they're not safe, that the world isn't safe for them to be themselves. And that is coming from trauma. They're hiding.
Mm-hmm.
They're hiding behind the mask.
Right.
And it's very hard to love other people and to help other people when you're hiding. It's just soul destroying.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You can't love someone else if you don't know how to love yourself. Right.
Right.
You know, you said it all starts with yourself. And that's why, you know, that healing is so, so important, you know, to go through that, that self-healing and, you know, being aware of not only what you are, but who you are as well, you know, and stepping into your purpose. And I love the fact that you have found your purpose. And, you know, I was just having a conversation with someone about this literally last night. And this person was asking me, well, how do I find my purpose? How do I step into my purpose? And, you know, I told them that, you know, the where you need to start is self-healing and self-growth, working to improve yourself. Don't worry about, you know, materialistic things and what you want to accomplish. And I mean, it's fine to, you know, to have your goals and everything like that. But I told this person, your priority should be growing within, like get to know yourself, who you are as a person and this powerful spiritual being that you are. And once you get to that space or that place in your life where you know who you are and you have this understanding of why your experiences brought you into this moment, then your purpose will follow, you know? And I believe that to be true 100% of the time for people. You know, I think that's why you have people that may have accumulated a lot of material things in life, you know, homes, monies, careers, but those people can be some of the most depressed, saddest people in the world, right? Because they haven't found that purpose. They haven't done that inner work. They haven't faced those fears. And, you know, I wish it was something that we could do, you know, light workers like yourself and I. Well, I guess you are. You definitely are. You do that through your good works with your farm and your energy healing, you know. So that's wonderful. That's wonderful. But my heart goes out to people like that, you know. It really does. It really does. I always think of how much of a better place this world could be if people would set aside their differences and focus on themselves and grow to evolve into a high vibrational, you know, spiritual being. So that's really good. That's really good.
You're doing it by talking to people and doing this podcast. And it's a portal. It's a gateway for people to come to find themselves. And I tell people who are looking to find their purpose and that they have what they need right where they are. It's not about getting some certification or, you know, learning how to do something.
Right.
Like you have it right now. And most people, when you talk just a little bit, they tell you, they start saying what their gifts are. They don't admit it to themselves, but it's right there. Most people know what it is. You could be a dream worker. A lot of people are doing work when they go to sleep. It's a job. You got to just clock in when your eyes close. And like a lot of people are doing dream work right now. That's what I feel like. I started being a dream worker and you know, I get paid. Huh. Things get easier for me when I'm just willing. And it's not like I remember doing it a lot, but sometimes I can just tell that when I think what I'm doing in dream work. And I think a lot of people could do this is, I'm like taking in some negative energy from the world and I kind of flip it around and shoot it back at the person who shot it at me and make it beautiful and like take in the negative energy and somehow make it better inside of me. And then I shoot it back out at them and just kind of like, I don't know. I think that's my job. That's one of my sleep jobs. There's just a million gifts like that, but people, if you're listening to this, if you're striving to awaken, then you have what you need and just put out your hand and just start doing it. Start helping people. People will come to you who need your gift and just start doing it. You are rewarded for it. When you start using your gift, everything in my life, if I have a really busy day and I have energy healing sessions scheduled, everything in the calendar just falls into place. Like, cause I'm going to be doing my work and everything else just fits around that. So once you start doing your work, it gets way easier. But I tell people you have what you need. There's nothing special about me. I just found my gifts and it took me like until my 40s to figure it out, but they were right there all the time.
All the time. That's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Now, I was going to ask you specifically, what is dream work? I know you explained how you recycle energy and shoot it back at the person or into the universe. Like, is that dream work or is that just your job in the realm of dream work? Like,
I think that's my job in the dream work. I've heard of other people something more like some people help souls, people who have died, they help their souls move on into the light or onto the next phase. And so they're helping people pass, go through that passage. I think there's all kinds of jobs and it's like, it really helps me to, I do write down my dreams. As soon as you wake up, if you remember a dream, just write it down on a little journal or on your phone right beside your bed. I try to do it on paper so I don't have to keep my phone right there. So write down your dreams and just kind of make sure I have to get enough sleep. So it is important to figure out how much sleep you really need to get a good night's sleep. Try to go to bed and see how many hours you sleep if you wake up naturally and try to figure that out. So get enough sleep. And set intention before you go to sleep. That really magical time when you're half awake and half asleep, like great ideas will pop into your head. And I just set an intention. If I have a big problem in my life, I go, okay, I'm going to figure this out. My intention is to like figure this out, a solution overnight. And when you wake up, sometimes the answer will be there. But I don't know what dream work, I don't know. It's not something you're doing consciously. I guess it's just that I have a willingness I know that my soul is a lot bigger than what my body is running around doing. And I'm willing to be used for good in the world. And so I just put that intention out there that I'm willing to go. And it makes me feel powerful to think, I'm doing good even when I'm asleep. Like it makes me feel great. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. I like how you said that your soul is bigger than what your body is. And, you know, it's my thought that we are one with the universe. We are one with the Father, you know? So when you talk about your soul is bigger than what your body is, and if you're attached to the Father, attached to the universe, when you go into that deep sleep, you go into another realm. And you're in that realm, essentially you're everywhere. And so you can do your works everywhere, right? Whatever it is. And I love how you said you set that intention. That's so important. That is something I've learned over the years as well, setting that intention for things. So I do a lot of meditation. That's something I started doing 3 years ago, and it's been life-changing for me. In fact, I do a specific meditation more often than not called the Gateway Experience. I don't know if you've heard of that, but it's a phenomenal meditation where you can have out-of-body experiences. And I've had many. And, you know, you go into these different realms, you do this astral traveling, you do all these things, and, you know, you pick up information. But at the end of the day, you're setting your attention, and essentially you're doing the Father's work. You know, you're helping people. So that is just a beautiful thing right there. That really is. You know, do you meditate? I'm sure you meditate, right? Yes?
Yes, I do. When I was first getting into it, when I turned 50, I had gotten sober a few years before, and I was trying to learn how to meditate, and I went to a 3-day silent retreat, which was like really intense for where I was right then. I probably wasn't ready for that much silence, but it was just for 3 days, we would have no talking allowed, no phones, and we would do 1 hour of yoga, 1 hour of meditation, 1 hour of rest time, like eating or whatever. And we would do that from like 6 a.m. until 10 at night. So just 1 hour meditation, 1 hour yoga, 1 hour rest. And it was a bunch of yoga teachers and serious meditators at the retreat. And then me, who was not very good at yoga and not really experienced meditating. And we're meditating for 20 minutes at a time, just sitting there. And I was really intimidated. And I just realized everybody had their eyes closed. And for all they knew, I was like a master meditator. We're sitting there with our eyes closed. I would open my eyes and peek around, and everybody's just sitting there. Some of them are fidgeting. I know some of their minds were wandering just like mine. But I had a few moments where I was like, I think I'm pretty good at this. Like, this is great. Yeah, I'm feeling it. I can do this. And I could quiet my mind for a short amount of time. I want to tell that about meditating. Like, people always say to me, I'm not good at it. Like, nobody knows. There's no judge. Like, just sit there. Right. You're good at it. It's the easiest thing in the world. Just do it. Just sit there. If your mind wanders, you just look at it like clouds passing by, and you just let those thoughts just float on by.
Yes.
Let them go.
Right.
And
right.
You just get longer and longer periods of, I do this cool meditation it made me think about it, about, I have never learned about really getting into the astral, but I just try to put my attention. I move my attention around my body. Like I'm going to put my attention in the tip of my finger. And then I go, I'm just going to put my attention over there on that chair. And it just, you can just kind of move it just right over there. And I'm like, wow, I'm this room. I can be in, you know, what it feels like to be over there. It's that's meditation awesome. Is the easiest thing. Like, don't worry if you're not good at it. You're good at it. Just do it.
That's right. Well said. So, wow, 3 days of silence, a retreat, you said. That's what you did. What did you learn about yourself in those 3 days, Becca?
Yeah, it was really good for me. Going into it, I was just intimidated and thought everybody is better than me. And so we were doing yoga. And so that stuff, it was... one thing about not talking that I loved is I am kind of a blabbermouth. And at that time, especially in my life, I would be trying to run some game on people all the time to impress them or to show them that I was as cool as they were or to make them like me. And I was using my words all the time, just trying to say something that was as cool as everybody else around me. And the fact that we couldn't talk, we could look at each other, and it's so powerful just to look in somebody's eyes when you don't talk, because you're just sitting there being with each other. To just sit next to somebody and eat without speaking. Mm-hmm. I love those people so much. I guess I love people more when they can't talk. That's what I learned, though, that it was very freeing, because I use my words so much to try to put on a mask and to just be with people, and that I was able to do it. It is a superpower to be able to be alone with your own thoughts. That's what it was like when I was drinking. If I was sitting there, if I had a moment when I was sober and I wasn't watching TV or reading or distracted in some way, I was crawling out of my skin. And if you can just sit there and be with yourself, and it, like, I would sit there and go, okay, I'm just, it's going to be silent for 2 more days. It's just me in here. And, I don't know. It's easier than you think, but it was freeing. There's a lot of power in silence. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's amazing to be with people. If you can be with somebody and not have to talk and look in somebody's eyes without talking. If you just had to sit and stare into somebody's eyes for 5 minutes before any kind of interaction, like, there would be peace in the world.
Oh, wow. That's powerful. Very, very powerful right there. I like it. Excellent. Excellent. So I'm going to ask you to put on your psychic hat next, right? When you think about 2024 and how this year has started off and where we're at now, you know, when you're sitting at home with your husband or even alone, you know, and you think about the direction that things are going, what do you think is in store on the horizon for us in this country, or it's just humanity as a whole?
Yeah, 2024. I feel that this is it. This is a big year. And I don't want to say this in too negative of a way, but I feel like we're out of time. And it feels like humanity has been running scared for a long time. And we're out. There's nowhere left to run. And it's going to be, it's going to be a cataclysm, I guess, is the word that comes to mind. I think it's going to be a pretty crazy year, and things are going to crumble. And I don't know what it's going to be first. If it's the monetary system, the economy crashing, if it's the food supply system, you know, in food processing, the way food goes around the world, food supply, like, there's so many places that could break down.
Yeah.
The government, war, social unrest, just it's all going to crumble. And I think everybody can feel that. And I just, what I sense in people who don't want to, who don't talk about this stuff, people who aren't talking about the globalists and all of that, they are, they're like tap dancing. They're like trying to whistle and just go, everything's fine. Everything's fine. And they are, they feel it too. I see everybody feels it. But what I want to tell people is just prepare by getting your resources. You have what you need inside of you. Like, I'm a pretty good prepper because I know how to grow food and have a farm, and I have a lot of stored food and everything. But it could be that an asteroid hits my farm and I'm standing out alone on the road and I have nothing. And I need to believe that I have what I need inside of me to meet that moment. And I think if people are listening to this and they're listening to your show and they're on this journey, like, they, you have what you need. And that's what I want to tell people. So learn how to love yourself, get over the addictions and the dependencies on negative things that are going to drag you down. And you be okay so that if you are standing on the road with nothing, that you're going to be able to meet that moment. And it could be beautiful. And I think we just need to hold this vision. Like, I don't want anything to go back to normal, whatever normal was. You know, normal is a hell realm. Let's stop pretending like this world that we have is beautiful. That, you know, you think about people in a poor country who have enough to eat. I'm not talking about people who are starving, but people who are living in a, you know, out in the wild, some kind of tribal community in the jungle. Do we really think that because they don't have money that they're worse off than us? Like, with pollution and cars and poison food and pharmaceuticals and the stress and social media, like, those people have it better than us. Like, the money is nothing. Let's hold a vision of, yeah, a lot of things are going to fall away, and let's let them fall. I don't know. Yeah. It's going to be bad, but you have what you need. If you're hearing this, it's, you're going to be okay.
Yes, I think that's important for people to know. You're going to be okay. I liken it to, you know, being in the eye of the storm and having the peace. Right. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on in the world. But if you do that healing and you get into maybe spirituality or find your grounding and find your tribe, like, everything will be OK. No doubt about it. It's not over. It's not the end. I agree. I think at 24, we have some challenging times ahead as a people of humanity, of this world. But we're strong. We're resilient. And we'll certainly make it through, no doubt about it. You know, we will definitely make it through. So thank you for sharing that.
If I can put on my psychic hat a little bit about you, Justin, I just picked up, I think you said you talked about your family. Do you have children?
I do. I have three. Yes.
I just saw you as the rock of your family, and I just see. You are what they need, but you're the one. So stand for them. The work that you're doing is gonna pull them through. And so, you're rock solid. I'm happy for them. I feel good. I'm so grateful to know you and see you standing in that power.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That means the world. I so much gratitude for that. Thank you for sharing that. Genuinely appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, next thing I want to talk, I just have a few more questions for you. This has been a phenomenal conversation, and I thank you for sharing your story and being so vulnerable in this space with my audience. This is great. This is the kind of conversations more people need to have, you know? So thank you for that. But I do want to ask you about your business, Intuitive Nutritional Counseling. Tell me about that a little bit, please.
Yeah, this is just something new I've started doing, kind of bringing more food into my energy work. So I have been doing sessions just where I read people's energy and talk about whatever issues they're having. I try to help them remove blocks. And I've been doing this for about a year and a half. And I really love it. But a few people have been asking me about food. And especially since, because of the work I do with the farm and education about food, is I would kind of like to combine these things more. So I've created a new kind of session just called Intuitive Nutritional Counseling. Different than other kinds of health coaching, where you might have a diet program and somebody tells you what to eat, or they tell you what supplements you should take, and I just want to do something different with energy. I really think that people can learn how to eat intuitively and that people know how to heal themselves. Like, if I talk to people and just like hold space for their healing, people know exactly what they need to do. And I want to start doing this sessions with people and just talk about their, I think our relationship with food is very broken and very dysfunctional. And a lot of people are having a lot of actual trauma about food. And it's probably because the poisons that they're eating are actually harming their bodies and their souls. Mm-hmm. And so just to help them make gentle steps, just small changes, to start eating in a way that aligns with what they know they need. And I think I can do this. And I think I can do it the same way I remove energy blocks to help people get more, you know, abundance in their life, or to meet the man of their dreams or whatever. I think we can start healing this relationship with food. And that's a way that I could really help heal the world.
Beautiful. And you can certainly do it. Absolutely. You have definitely, you're definitely in your purpose. So, you know, you win each and every time. So do you offer these counseling sessions online? And where's your website? Can you tell the audience your website, or if you have any social media where they can find you, where they can contact you?
Yes, I am in. I don't really do social media. That's another thing I have cut out of my life. Okay. But I am, my website, you can book sessions on my website, and it is called regenerativelifefarm.com. And so you could go there and read all about my farm, if that part is fun. And there's also a page called Energy Healing. And there you can book a session with me, read about the different kinds of sessions. So just regenerativelifefarm.com. And yeah, check me out. If you go to this energy healing page, I put all these magic spells on it. And I said, if anybody will not benefit from this, their eyes are going to just pass right over it. Because it's my farm website too. And I don't want farm customers to think that I'm too much of a weirdo for doing woo-woo energy healing sessions. So I'm like, if it won't benefit you, then you just like pass right over it. But if you read it, mm-hmm. if you see the energy healing page and you feel a little tingle, then that means that it will benefit you, and it'll benefit me if you book a session. And so give it a try if you get that feeling. And I'm sure that it'll be good for both of us.
Very good. Very good. You know, one thing that I meant to ask you earlier that it slipped my mind, I thought about it, then it slipped my mind, as you went through this awakening and you changed your life over the last several years now, how did your friends and family react? What was their reaction to the new Becca, the reborn Becca, if you will?
Yeah. My family loves me and has always accepted me, but always, I feel like they have always thought I'm a weirdo. And it's a little bit of an attitude of, oh, this is just her latest weird thing. And honestly, I've never been a person who has a ton of friends. I wish I did have more friends, but I guess, an introvert. Mm-hmm. A lot of people fell away. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I'm okay with that. And along the path of awakening, I have had people come into my life who really changed my life and really were teachers to me and helped me on my journey. And it may be my path that I don't linger with a teacher for very long. So I've had people will come into your life as you're going along the path that help you, and yes, intense relationships and big helpful things. And then you kind of move on.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. People will, when you go through that awakening, people will come into your life. The universe will bring people in your life, and the universe will separate you from people as well. I'm a true testament of that. I have certainly learned that. And Becca, one last question for you, and this is something I ask each and every guest that comes on the show, is I would like for you to leave our audience with what I like to call a token of love, just something that you feel that people need to hear in this very moment. Now, you have shared so many phenomenal things over the last hour or so that people can benefit from. But if you have to pinpoint one thing that comes to heart right now, what would that be?
Yes, I would say that if you're listening to this, you have everything that you need. And you are here for a reason. And God wants you to thrive, and you deserve to thrive, and you should treat yourself like an honored guest in your home. Treat yourself mm-hmm. with the respect that you would teach an honored teacher. Mm-hmm. Trust in yourself. You're important, and you're here at this time. And you're going to be able to meet this moment. Yes, that's what I feel. I think if you're beautiful. Hearing this, you are the person who can meet the challenge that's going to come. Mm.
So good. Good. Thank you. That is so good. You said that with a lot of passion and a lot of love. I can definitely tell that you are a person who loves hard. And you have a true love for people and for animals, as well as food. And you have learned to love yourself. And that, my friend, is amazing. So thank you for all you do, all the light and all the love you spread in this world. You continue your mission, your purpose, with peace and love. And I know you will. So thank you so much for being a guest here on the Hidden Gateway Podcast, Becca. And to our audience, I know you enjoyed this episode. Check Becca out. She provided her website. It will certainly be in the show notes as well. She has a lot of good things going on to offer the good people. And as always, if you would like to speak with us, send us an email at support@thehiddengateway.com. As always, thank you for pushing your mindset towards a better reality. This will conclude this week's episode. Until next time, stay positive, stay questioning, be love, and be peace. The Hidden Gateway, out.